May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. Hymn 1099.
Jesus, omnipotent, May it please God to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this morning. We'll turn to the book of Genesis and chapter 41. The book of Genesis, chapter 41. It's a long chapter, and we'll commence reading at verse 14. So Genesis 41 and commencing at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favoured, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favoured of kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favoured as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favoured kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty years, blasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay out corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. The land perished not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Pharaoh went out from the presence of Pharaoh. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which is round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because of the famine was so sore in all lands. Well, may God bless his word to us. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. The Lord whom ye seek is nigh to your call, attends when you speak, nor lets a word fall. Your sorrow and sighing are felt in his breast. He pities your crying and will give you rest. Hymn 687.
Bro. Let us now join together in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed, eternal, gracious, and holy Lord God, that one who is indeed high and lifted up, Lord, we come thankful today that although so great, so wonderful, so powerful, yet we believe that great God condescends to look down upon his people. And we believe, Lord, that through thy good mercy, thou hast looked down upon us as we are here gathered together to worship thee, the ever-living and true God. And so, Lord, we do earnestly pray that thy Holy Spirit may come upon each one of us and, Lord, possess our minds so that we may be able to concentrate on the great things of God. And Lord, we earnestly pray that our time of worship today may not in any way be irksome, but Lord, may it be a time when we realize the Lord is here. And therefore we pray, Lord, that that may rightly and truly and blessedly influence our attitude. And we pray, gracious God, that will come to us each in our different situations. For Lord, we know we're all individual, Lord, and we all need thy attention. Lord, we all need thee. We all need to know that thou art looking upon us. And Lord, that thou art dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We pray therefore, gracious Lord, that it may be a time when our souls are blessed indeed. O Lord, for we realize how necessary that is. And Lord, often we think we know what we need. But Lord, sometimes we're very foolish and ignorant. But Lord, we're thankful to come to that God who knows precisely what we do need. And we pray therefore, Lord, today, thou wilt come and apply thy word to our very souls. So Lord, when we come to the end of the day, we may be able to give thanks for the Lord being mindful of us and not casting us off and not cutting us down as a cumberer of the ground. And so, Lord, we pray thou wilt come today. We pray the blessed Saviour may be a living reality in each of our hearts. Oh, Lord, we pray he may not just be an historical figure, but Lord, that he may be to each one of us the one thing needful. And Lord, to also realize that I without him perish must. And therefore we pray, Lord, that will come indeed and touch our hearts. And Lord, do bless us with that blessing that only thou canst give. Lord, we are thankful indeed for the liberty and the privilege that we have of being able to come together to worship. And Lord, we realize that in this vast world in which we live, there are so many situations which exist where this is not possible. And Lord, thy people cannot gather together for fear of the laws of the land. And yet, Lord, we're blessed with this wonderful privilege. And we pray therefore, Lord, it may be used to our soul's eternal good. And Lord, that through this blessing, it may bring honour and glory to thy great and holy name. O Lord, may we indeed each be able to truly say from our heart, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And Lord, may we know that the blessed Saviour was slain upon that cross of Calvary in order to redeem our souls. Lord, we pray for that blessed application which only comes through thy Spirit. And so, Lord, come, we pray today, and may it be a time of blessing in each of our souls. And Lord, we will be thankful for every mercy and favour. Thankful, Lord, for the health and strength that enables us to be here this morning. And Lord, for the many comforts that we have naturally with our friends and families, with our homes, food to eat and clothes to wear. Lord, many, many are the blessings naturally. And then, Lord, the wonderful blessing of the Word of God in our own language, which we have to be able to read. We thank thee for this. And then, Lord, above these things, we would truly desire to be able to bless thee if we have that wonderful evidence of the life of God in our souls, so that we know that we have passed from death to life, from darkness to light. Oh Lord, we pray then that thou would visit each soul and show forth, Lord, the glorious light of the gospel, and lead us each, Lord, to Calvary by faith to view the suffering Saviour. Lord, we pray then for each one. We pray for the children. Lord, we're thankful for them. We do pray, Lord, that while they're young, they may come to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh, we pray, Lord, that none may be left out of that great blessing of having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we pray, Lord, that this people may be a healthy people spiritually. Oh Lord, we are often concerned about our bodies and our health, but Lord, may we each be more concerned about the health of our eternal souls. And so, Lord, we pray that each may grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that this church and people may be as a watered garden, a place which is fruitful, a place where thy honour dwelleth, a place where thy Holy Spirit dwells. And so, Lord, we commend each to thee. And we pray, Lord, for the deacons. We commend them to thee in their responsibilities. Continue, Lord, to be with them. Guide and direct them every day. And grant, Lord, they may have many encouragements. Thou art indeed in the midst. Lord, thou knowest their concerns, and Lord, thou knowest that we believe there is that concern they might have a pastor, and yet, Lord, we pray that in these things there may be that clear leading and clear direction, and that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If it could be thy holy will then, Lord, there might be provided for them here an under shepherd, one who will go in and out amongst them and truly care for their souls. So, Lord, hear us then when we pray for these things. And then, Lord, as we think of the current world scene, we recognise, Lord, the peace which we have to a large degree in our nation. But, Lord, we think of the position in Ukraine at the present time, Lord. the war which exists there, the many who have lost their lives, the much sadness of which, O Lord, must exist, by people, Lord, who perhaps are fearful of the outcome. Perhaps there have been those of thy people who have been taken to glory. O Lord, we pray then for that large country. Thou wilt have mercy. O Lord, put down the aggressor. Lord, we know that the hearts of all men are in thy hand. And Lord, thou canst change Putin's will and desires. And Lord, grant that he may, if it could be thy will, admit the mistakes he's made. Lord, that there might be a withdrawal and there might be peace come again. Oh Lord God, these things seem naturally impossible for us. But we know, Lord, we have a great God with whom all things are possible. And so we pray, Lord, for that area. And we pray for the Church of God worldwide. Lord, many today in many nations have great difficulty and opposition. Lord, do support them and strengthen them. And Lord, we look to our own nation, Lord, a nation so blessed in years past. And yet, Lord, now to a large extent we've turned our back upon thee. But, O Lord, we come and say, in wrath, remember mercy. We would also say, wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Lord, we love to see thy work appearing. We're thankful, Lord, when we do. And we pray, Lord, it may continue, and there may be much evidence of it, so that we may have reason to praise thy great and glorious name. O Lord, let us not be unthankful for all thy mercies. Lord, help us to praise thee for all thy goodness and the many blessings we have. Lord, let them not lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. Lord, we pray for the Sunday school here, that thou wilt bless all the children and young people. Oh Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that they have to hear thy truth. And we pray, Lord, there may be much blessing. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee now. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Lord, we cannot preach, we cannot hear. And therefore, Lord, we're very conscious that we need thee. Come then, Lord, and be with us and bless us. Forgive our every sin. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 194. Hail, mighty Jesus, how divine is thy victorious sword. The stoutest rebel must resign at thy commanding word. Hymn 194.
please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and we'll read verse 55. The book of Genesis, chapter 41, and reading verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. You young people especially today may think, well, it's a bit of a strange text the minister's given out this morning. Well, let me just tell you, and I hope you realise, that the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is really there for our benefit and to show to us the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, of course, in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. But right through the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us in what we might call types and shadows. That means it's not clear, but nonetheless it is there. And I believe this particular verse gives a wonderful reference to a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that type is Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ. And so we have this verse which speaks to us this morning. As Pharaoh instructed the people, when they came to him, they were famished, they were starving, and they came to him, and what did he do? He directed them to Joseph. And he said, Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. So I'm sure you can realize directly that these words direct us this morning to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we were to substitute the Saviour's name for Joseph, we would read, Go unto Jesus. And what he saith to you, do. Well, here was a very direct statement, wasn't it? To the people who indeed were famished. And in reality, it's a very direct statement to us today to think that the Word of God directs us to go unto Jesus. Now, you won't go to Jesus, really, until you're like these people. These people had come to Pharaoh because they were famished. They didn't have anything to eat. It was a time of famine. And therefore, they come to Pharaoh because they knew that there was corn in Egypt. But you see, they couldn't just go and help themselves to it. They had to come to Joseph. Joseph was in charge of all this corn. It was through his direction that the people were fed. And that really is the same in a spiritual way for all of us today. Because God does, in his wonderful providence, bring his people into what we might say is a time of spiritual need. And they may not know what to do. They are famished. They're starving. And they know they're a dying person. They know they won't live forever. And they know they have an eternal soul. And they know that one day they must face Almighty God. And yet, they seem to possess nothing. They're famished. And they need spiritual food. And they know there is spiritual food. But they can't grasp it themselves. They can't help themselves. So what are they to do? What are we to do? Well, here is the words really. Go unto Jesus. What a great word that is. What a wonderful blessing it is that we today have the Bible, the Word of God, which shows to us the wonderful plan of salvation. You see, if you and I are spiritually famished, it will really mean that you and I are under the conviction of sin. And that means, as you and I look to ourselves, we realize that we are an undone and lost sinner. And we need salvation. We need to be saved. We need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross at Calvary. And not only that, that he's died upon the cross at Calvary to redeem our souls. You see, true religion is personal. Let's be very clear about that. It's between our soul and God. And you and I will need to know in a personal way that our souls are saved. And that we are eternally safe. And that means if we are to be blessed with that situation, that wonderful realization, we will have to hear such a word like this: go unto Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is that we do have a Saviour, Christ the Lord. How down through the ages the Church of God have rejoiced in Christ their Saviour. My friends, what a great and wonderful time it will be when you and I can rejoice in Christ our Saviour. The reality is, you and I must come to that position to truly rejoice in Christ as our Saviour. You won't be able to rejoice in yourself. You won't be able to rejoice in what you've done. But what a blessing it is if God has given you grace to hear a word like this. And it is grace, It's his unmerited favour, and we all need it, and what a blessing it is if that word comes to us in our time of need. Go unto Jesus. He is the only way whereby you and I will find relief for the burden of sin upon our soul. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we might come and say this morning, well, what think ye of Christ is the test to try both your work and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless we think rightly of him. This morning, what do we think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the one thing needful? Or do we just pass over it? Perhaps you've heard about Jesus. Perhaps you've read about Jesus. Perhaps ever since you were born. But the great question is, do you know Jesus as your Saviour? As your personal Saviour? As I've said, real religion is personal. It's personal. You cannot go to heaven in your parents' religion. You cannot go to heaven in your brother or sister's religion. You need the personal evidence that the Lord Jesus has loved you with an everlasting love and with loving kindness has drawn you. Well, therefore, what a mercy this morning if the Holy Spirit enters into our heart and shows us the need we have of going to Jesus. What does that really mean? It means casting all our care upon him. Casting all our care upon him. It's very easy, you know, to perhaps, I should perhaps say, a part-time religion, you know, something that kind of wants to go along with the things of God when it's convenient and when it suits us. But when the Holy Spirit comes and convinces us of our need, then it is that we come and realise the necessity of going to the Saviour. Well then, those wonderful words, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The words of the Saviour, the gracious invitation. But remember, the invitation is wonderfully qualified. And that qualification is, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. So if you don't have any burden of sin, if you don't labour under it, you won't find such a word attractive at all. You won't feel any necessity of it. But bless God, when the Holy Spirit applies his word with power to our souls. Then we realise the necessity of such a great and glorious truth. Go unto Joseph, or go unto Jesus. Well, I suppose I could ask you all this morning, how many of us, by the grace of God, have gone to Jesus? How many have not gone to Jesus? I don't know. Who knows? Only you and God. Only you and God knows. If you're among those who have gone unto Jesus, but if we have, we can bless God for it. Because it's not because of what we've done. It's not because we are worthy. It's because of God's mercy. And it's because of his love. And that's exceedingly humbling. As we look around the vast multitudes of mankind, and how few have been given that grace to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessing then if we've been brought to that position. And if we haven't, and my friends, never pretend that you have. Never pretend that you have when you haven't. Don't be deceived. The devil will always try and pretend to you, well, you're all right. You're a good Christian. You've always gone to chapel. You've always done that which is right, and it'll be all right in the end. The devil's a liar from the beginning. We need the personal evidence in our very hearts, in our very soul, that we are born again of the Spirit of God, and that we've come to that place of real need. And when you come there, you realize there's nowhere else you can go. Nowhere else. Because no one else will really understand your condition and your position. The blessed truth is the Lord knows, because he's brought you there. And therefore he knows how to deliver you. He knows how to come and bless you. He knows exactly what you need in your spiritual life. What a mercy it is then to have grace to come to him. Yes, if we come this morning as a needy person, yes, it's a great mercy, it's a great blessing. Go unto Joseph. And you see, the words here, it's wonderful, isn't it, how the word of God really flows together so very beautifully. Because it says here, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Well, what has the Lord told you to do? I don't know. What has the Lord told you to do? If you have been given faith to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, what has he told you to do? Well, he may have told you to turn away from all that perhaps you were trusting in. Perhaps you were trusting in your own ability. Perhaps you were trusting in your own knowledge. Perhaps you were trusting in your own knowledge of the Bible. But you see, it's a blessing when he shows us what we must do. And as I've already said, it really comes down to this great truth, casting all your care upon him. Just think of that. We have such a great Saviour, such a great God, who invites us to come and cast all our care. The great thing is, he knows about us. We can come to him. We can pour out our heart to him in prayer. You see, prayer is a blessed relief. It's like a relief valve where we feel as though we must burst with our need. And yet, prayer is a great blessing. And we're encouraged to pray to God. Pray to God. All prayer is good. But my friend, sometimes there's that real burden. And we might say, as James tells us, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you may say, well, I'm not a righteous man, and I'm not a righteous woman. But you see, you are if you are in Christ. And you are if the Holy Spirit's directed you to come to him and to cry unto him. Go unto Joseph. What he says to you, do. The word of God, my friends, gives us many, many gracious instructions as what we should do. The Lord tells us what we should do, how we should come, how we should pray. And we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we are righteous. And it's if we come to him confessing our sins. You see, sin won't be just something vague and something which is just passing. It'll be a burden. And when you feel you possess nothing, when you possess, you're famished and you need the Saviour. How wonderful it is then to have these gracious words of encouragement from the Lord's own lips. Come unto me. Nowhere else. Don't look anywhere else. Don't expect help anywhere else. Come to the Lord. Here, in this case here, Pharaoh didn't say, well, there's this person and that person. No. Go to Joseph. Joseph will give you the corn you need. Joseph will feed you. And my friends, that's so gloriously true with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do us good. He will come and bless us. And you may say, well, why is that? Because in so doing, he brings honour and glory to himself. Because if we possess that faith and that grace to go to Jesus, and we find there, he receives us. He doesn't cast us away. The door of his mercy. You might say, that's what I need, mercy. Well, remember, the door of his mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. And so if you're in that place, you will be poor and needy, and therefore you are welcome. Welcome, yes. Not because of your righteousness, but because of your unrighteousness. Because of your need. To think that this great Almighty God, and it is a very humbling experience to realize that the great God has come down individually to his people and causes them to hear his voice and to go to himself. And then what he saith to you, do it. And my friends, those who received this great and wonderful favour, to realise that the Lord comes then and gives us that encouragement to know that he has loved us with everlasting love, you may stand there and be absolutely amazed that God should ever have loved you. You may have to come and say with the hymn writer, on such love my soul still wonder. One love so great, so rich, so free, say whilst lost in holy wonder. Why, O God, such love to me? I believe all of God's children come there. But it's good then if we go on and can praise God for it. You see, our lives are for the honour and glory of God. They are to praise his great and glorious name. And what a mercy then if you and I are able to trace our lives and to realise that he's caused us to perhaps be born into a home of believers, to be able to gather together to worship with believers, to be able to read the Word of God and to have the Word of God. And these are immense blessings. How true it is then when we come under the influence of the Holy Spirit to realize what God has given to us, what God has provided for us. We look around, we see so many rushing headlong to a lost eternity. What was there in me that could merit esteem or give my Creator delight was even so, Father, we ever must sing, because it seemed good in thy sight. This is the God that we adore. This is the God that we bow down to. And it's good to study, if you like, the account of the Old Testament and the life of Joseph. You may remember he had those dreams, didn't he? Of his brethren bowing down to him, and then all his brethren and his parents bowing down to him. What was it? What would it mean? Well, it was a long time, wasn't it, before that came to pass. We know he was 17 years of age when he was sold into Egypt. We read today he was 30 years when he stood before Pharaoh. So that's 13 years. We know that there were 7 years of famine. So that's 20 years. We know this was came on then for the second year when his brethren came to him. Some 22 years have passed before his brethren came and bowed down to him. You see, God's purposes are fulfilled. And yet, in Joseph's life, what times of trial there were, imprisoned for not anything that he'd done wrong. Indeed, we might say, for things that he'd done right. So don't be surprised in your life and in my life when things don't go according to our plan. The truth is, God has a better plan. And you may think, well, I think I had a good plan. Well, it may have been a good plan. But let me tell you this. If your plan had come to fruition, you would have claimed some of the glory. You would have claimed something for yourself. You may have said, well, of course, it was my prayers that brought that to pass. We have to prove that God is a jealous God. And we do prove that God's ways are higher than our ways. And we do prove, as for God, his way is perfect. So therefore, don't be surprised when things don't work out in accordance with your plan or my plan. But just realize the great truth of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul said, who had a very tough and rough life, and he gloriously said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And my friends, if the Lord has graciously directed you in this way to go unto Jesus, you will be able to say, yes, the Lord did that. The Lord directed me. And therefore, what's the result? God receives the honour and glory. And my friends, we're very thankful it is so. And we should desire, and I hope you do desire, to honour and glorify your God. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Now, I don't know really anything about most of your lives, but the important thing is to take words like this to your heart and to realize that if the Lord graciously draws you to himself, that you've been able to come to him, casting your care upon him, seeking to him that he will go before you, seeking that he will direct you and that he will bless you, then when the Lord comes, my friends, and gives you those blessings and those directions, remember what was said, what he saith to you, do. Do. Do it. What a blessing it is, my friends, to be made willing in the day of his power. Power belongeth unto God. And when the Lord touches our heart, and when the Lord reveals himself to us as our great and glorious Saviour, we realise it is the power of God which has done it. And surely there is therefore great reason and cause to praise and to acknowledge that it is the work of God. The Bible tells us, ye are my witnesses. And the Lord causes blessings in our soul. We're not to hide them. We're not to hide them. We are to show forth his praise. Realizing what unworthy sinners we are, that the Lord should have looked upon us, looked upon me, so unworthy of any notice. He hasn't passed me by. He stopped. In the words of Leviticus, he saw me in my blood and said, live. The gift of eternal life. What a blessing then if you and I have received that. Now, my friends, what God does is done. And may it remain, which it will, And may we acknowledge it, which we should, and let us never be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Ashamed of that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. You see, if we have gone to Jesus and Jesus has blessed us, then surely we have a hope of heaven, a hope of glory. And really, there's no greater gift that the Lord can grant to us than the gift of eternal life. And so we have great cause then to thank him and to praise him. Praise waiteth for thee in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Well, that's a wonderful statement. Perhaps, I don't know, there may be someone here who's made a vow to God. My friends, if you have, and that's been answered, perform the vow. Yes, don't let it lie. Just because you know it's going to be difficult. The Christian path is difficult in this life, but it leads to glory. And remember, as the apostle said, he could do all things through Christ that strengthens him. If we've come to Jesus, then we know what a blessing it is. My friend, let us always then go in his strength, not in our strength. My friends, his strength is all sufficient. Trust in him at all times. All times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. We have a great God. We have a great Saviour. And may we indeed hear this morning these words spoken. May they speak truly to our hearts, for the honour and glory of our God. Go unto Joseph. Go unto Jesus. What he saith, not what man says, what he saith to you, personal, do. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon, and there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, and this will be followed by a church meeting. And God willing, Mr. James Pack will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Hymn number 24.
Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.